You were here for Sunday school, and so I'd like to welcome back. We had some missionaries that came and shared with us during Sunday school, and so they've agreed to honor us with their presence for a few moments this morning. And so I'd like to welcome back up Sean Bandy. And Sean and his wife Cindy are missionaries. Not here, but we support them as missionaries. And Cindy's parents were missionaries that we supported, and her grandparents are missionaries that we supported. And so there's a long heritage there. And so I will turn it over to Sean.
Thank you, Pastor. We have, my wife and I have been missionaries here for about 6 years now, I think. This is my son, Jack. We have four kids. We have Kyra in the back, so you can wave, Kyra. She's my 11-year-old. My oldest daughter, Tessa, is with my youngest son, Callan, who are in the nursery area there. So do you want to say anything real quick?
It's great to be here, to see you all. And we have fun memories of being here for VBS a few years ago. And I'm just so glad to be part of your family.
So my wife's parents and grandparents were supported by the church here, too. So thank you guys for all that you do. If you missed Sunday school, I want to give you just a brief update on how things are going with the Jesus film. It has been translated into over 1,300 languages around the world at this point. And we have a goal of 865 more by the year 2025. God willing, we will be able to do that. One of the most exciting things that we're doing right now is we are reaching out to our partnerships like YWAM or Wycliffe, or some of the other mission organizations that have come to us in the last decade and have asked us to record languages for them. And we've had to say, no, we can't, just because we didn't have the resources to do it. But now we can train them and show them how to record the Jesus film in the heart languages of the people that they're working with. And this is really beneficial for a number of reasons, but one is it gets the languages done and out there in the people's hands. And two, the partners that are working in these language groups, they know the language, they know the culture, and so we can take years off of translating a script so we can get the Jesus film to people so much sooner. And it's incredible to watch the impact that the gospel of God is having in the world. I am extremely excited to be part of the team that is creating these backpack recording systems to go out into the world and record new languages. When we first started, not me personally, but over 30 years ago with the Jesus film, we were hauling 900 pounds of equipment all over the world to do recordings. Then it was 450, then it was 200, and now it will fit into a backpack that's 36 pounds. That's it. So it's amazing to see how God is working. We are excited. I just got back from Kona, Hawaii, to help train our YWAM friends and partners who have been asking us to come and show them how to do recordings. So they basically got the fire hose treatment for the last 10 days. And we want to help them, help ease them into it. So hopefully in the fall, some of the guys that were in our recording classes in Kona will be able to go to Papua New Guinea and actually translate, or not translate, but record new languages of the film. And we're going to go with them and show them how it's done, and to help them remember all that they learned in the classes. But thank you guys so much for all that you do. I want to leave you with a short film, a video. It's about the Gamo tribe in Ethiopia. And this really gives you an indication of how God's word is working in their lives. So they're seeing the Jesus film for the first time. So go ahead and check this out.
Thank you. experience. And then I'm going to go to this.
They disarmed it because it was in their language, and they were so emotional about it, and it just touched all my heart as it did theirs.
Boy, I've seen the Jesus film here in this country. It was just mind-blowing.
They were so focused. They hardly moved. Their eyes were just glued to the screen.
It just takes your breath away to see the emotion that people feel, but also the emotion that it brings out in my heart to see it for the first time. It is in my life. I thought, God is really speaking to them. They're not watching a movie. They're having an experience with Jesus Christ. He's speaking to their heart, and they're responding.
So at this time, the children can be dismissed. Imagine a world that has not been polluted, I guess, to the idea of who Jesus is. They get to experience Jesus as you did for the very first time, probably, as our society draws more and more away from who Jesus is, that becomes less and less of a possibility. Thank you, sir. We're going back to the book of Jeremiah for the next 4 weeks or so. And so if you would turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 30. So poor Jeremiah is a prophet. We know him as the wailing prophet. He was a man that loved the Lord. He served under the last five kings and regularly telling them, you have to stop walking away from God, or God is going to bring judgment on his people. Nevertheless, they continued at a pretty quick downward slide. I know that doesn't sound familiar at all, as we live in 21st century America. Nevertheless, Jeremiah loved the Lord and he loved his people. Ministering to Judah, he was faithful in all that God had called him to do, and often at great cost, as we will see. He loves his God, he loves his people, and yet, and I know that none of you will relate to this, no one listened to him. If you have teenagers, you totally get this. Actually, if you have children of any age or a pet of any kind, especially a cat, a dog will at least come when he's hungry. A cat will sit there and say, bring it to me. No one's listening to him. He gets thrown into prison. He gets thrown into a cistern. He's rejected by the king, his friends, his family. He's refuted or called a liar by the prophets and the priests. He's poor. He's homeless. He's destitute. And by the way, all of this is directly because of his faithfulness to do what God had called him to do. And we're talking today about trusting God when things get tough. And by and large, in 21st century America, things don't get too tough until we lose someone we love. We lose a child. I can't imagine something tougher. We lose our spouse, close friend, relative. Hard times is not when the electricity goes out. That is a minor inconvenience, because the vast majority of the planet lives without it. For us, it's hard times because the AC went out. That's hard for me. I like my air conditioning. But I noticed in Gaba Church, they have a huge fan in the middle of the sanctuary there in where Tish and Daria were last month in Africa. Now, I can't even tell you the name of the fan because of its name. But they're produced right here in Kentucky, just south of us, about an hour. And I just thought how funny it is that they have these fans, they're whisper quiet, huge fans that cool their sanctuary. It is hot. It is humid. Many of the people in the church walk many miles to come to church every Sunday. So if your car breaks down on Sunday morning, how far, ask yourself this question, are you willing to walk to get here? Because I know that's the only thing that would keep someone from coming to church would be if they had to walk and it was a great distance. And of course, that's not necessarily the case. I'll tell you how far I would walk. 1 mile. It is 1 mile from my front door to my office door. Exactly 1 mile. So now I know how far I'll walk on a Sunday morning, should my car break down. But the things that we call, Cheryl Ferguson corrected me on this, first world problems are not necessarily for third world problems. They're not things that we go without. In Africa, if you want water, you have to have the money to buy a bottle of water. You don't want to drink their water. In America, if I want water, I can turn on the tap anytime, day or night. In fact, they teach us as children, or at least taught us as children, that if all other water supplies are gone, you can use the tank of your toilet that has fresh water in it. Anyone else learn that? Or just me? Anyone try that? No, me neither. But even there, we have fresh water. So it's interesting, as we look at Jeremiah, his problems are major. He has no home, no protection of his family, his friends, the priests, the prophets, the king, or anyone else. He's declaring the word of the Lord, and he has been isolated. Imagine you have no one in the world, no one to turn to, no government that will offer support, no family, no friends, and even the church has turned its back on you. Where will you go? And we've heard this before, if you remember. Remember Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. He starts, 5 times, I received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes less one. 5 times he received at the hands of the Jews 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked. 1 night and 1 day I was adrift at sea. On frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, and danger from false brothers. In toil and hardship, through many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. Paul, a very well-educated, comes from a good family, strong upbringing, has a position in the temple, decides to follow Christ and loses everything. At least everything the world has to offer. Of course, what he gained, we know, is much better. But from standing here on the outside looking in, if you didn't know the history and the future of Paul, you would think he gave it all up for what? Paul is one example. Jeremiah is an example. If you go through the Bible, we see regularly examples of people who are going through hard times that are having to rely on God because they have nowhere else to turn. Nowhere else. Remember the story of Corrie ten Boom? whose family was arrested for hiding Jews during the Holocaust. Corey is arrested and is with her sister Betsy. They're in Ravensbrück, and Betsy just loves the Lord. She starts Bible studies. She's teaching these people about Jesus. She's praying nonstop, and then they have Corey. I don't know why you're doing this. Why would God leave us in this hole? Are you out of your mind? He has forgotten about us. The entire time you see this progression of Betsy, just like Paul and Silas, when they're in the prison, they sing praises to the Lord. Betsy is doing that. Corey, on the other hand, Corey would be more like me. Are you kidding me? There are lice in this bed. I am not sleeping in this bed. There are lice here. Well, where are you going to sleep? Outside on the cold ground? They're getting bit by bugs. They're getting very little to eat. They have no clothes to wear except rags. Nothing on their feet. Working 10, 12, 14 hours a day in bitter cold winter. And Betsy is praising the Lord. Oh, no, I don't think so. Right? I mean, that, think about, we'd say, well, no, I would hope that I'm Betsy and not Corey. But something happens in there because Betsy keeps telling her sister, and Corey's a Christian, she just keeps saying, Corey, you have to trust God. You have to trust. You have to trust. You have to quit being bitter. You have to be willing to let things go. And Corey struggles. Interesting thing, Betsy dies in that concentration camp. Corey is released on a clerical error. She was due to be executed. It was either that week or the next week. The rest of her life, she spends traveling around the globe, sharing the love of Jesus, leading countless numbers of people to the Lord. Betsy taught her something very important. It is very difficult to rely on God in the difficult times if you don't rely on God during the good times. If you have children in college, my kids are pretty good about this, but every once in a while, Dad, I need money. I will send them money. But I don't send money to random people who call my phone and ask me for money. Do you know why? No relationship. There's no reason to. Why would I send them money if there's no relationship there? But they know, my children know, that if they need me, I am there. And the reason they know that is because we have a regular relationship where we exchange love and affection and ideas. We talk, we communicate, and they know that I am there for them in the roughest of times because I am there for them in the best of times. One of the things we have to keep in mind is if we have no relationship with God until we absolutely need Him, it's hard for us to trust that He's truly there. Because our mind is wired to trust the ones that we have relationships with. And if we don't have one with the Lord, we're not likely to maintain one in the rough times either. So what do we do when things get rough and we don't have that relationship? We start problem solving. There are whole industries out there for problem solving when things get tough if we don't have the relationship we need with God. The loan industry has them, the car industry has them, the food industry. Everyone has something to help people. Here's the world, we promise. And people find themselves enslaved to these businesses because we have been taught as a society that God is not there when things get tough. And he says, I am. I am here. When we look at Jeremiah, so if you're in Jeremiah in chapter 30, you thought, is he actually going to ever mention or read it? I am going to read it. And we're going to read some more here in a bit. Jeremiah chapter 30. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, write all the words which I have spoken to you in a book. For behold, days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will restore the fortunes of my people, Israel and Judah. The Lord says, I will also bring them back to the land that I gave to their forefathers, and they shall possess it. Now, these are the words which the Lord spoke concerning Israel and concerning Judah. For thus says the Lord, I have heard a sound of terror, of dread, and there is no peace. Ask now and see. Give me a call and see what I will do. If a male can give birth, why do I see every man with his hands on his loins as a woman in childbirth? And why have all faces turned pale? Alas, for that day is great. There is none like it. And it is the time of Jacob's distress, but he will be saved from it. It shall come about on that day, declares the Lord of hosts, that I will break his yoke from off their neck and will tear off their bonds, and strangers will no longer make them their slaves. But they shall serve the Lord their God and David their king, whom I will raise up for them. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, declares the Lord. And do not be dismayed, O Israel, for behold, I will save you from afar, and your offspring from the land of their captivity. And Jacob will return and will be quiet and at ease, and no one will make him afraid. What Paul and Jeremiah and Corey and many others knew that sometimes we struggle with are the attributes of God. There were certain things I knew growing up that if I did them, my father would be angry. So I tried to do one of two things. I either tried to not do those things that made him angry, or if I did something I knew would make him angry, I tried to somehow mitigate that. I either hid it from him. I know none of you have ever done these things, so just forgive me in advance. I hid it from him, lied to him, did something to butter him up to kind of balance out the scales, something along those lines, something to mitigate the anger that may come if I have done something that I should not do. I'm alone in that, right? No? Oh. They knew, and because of that, I knew, if I do this, I'm in trouble. If I do this, I get praises. If I just walk the straight and narrow, everything is just an even keel. And you know me, just humble and meek, and I just stayed on that even keel, 99.9. I never once stepped on that path. I couldn't even find that path. I was either always in trouble are always good. And if I was really good, it was because I got my brothers in trouble. So the focus was off of me for a change. I knew my father, and I know his reaction, still know his reaction, if I do things that I shouldn't do. They knew, or knew, that there is an almighty God. They knew his attributes. They knew that he is holy. They knew that he is omnipotent, all-powerful. He can break, he says he will break the yoke. He can break the yoke. He has the power to do it. We lose the sight that God can do anything he chooses to do. And so often we forget that. He's righteous. He's the great deliverer. Remember Exodus? Remember Corey? And he's just. There's a reason that we go through the things that we go through. Some of you, especially ladies, might know an author and speaker. She was one of the premier speakers for Women of Faith for many years, Barbara Johnson. She had 4 children. She had a husband, obviously. And one day her husband's in an automobile wreck, and she is told that he will forever be a vegetable. He's blind, and he won't live beyond 5 years. The best thing you can do is to put him in the veteran's home, he was a veteran, and leave him there. Then she lost a son in Vietnam. She lost another son to a drunk driver. Then she had a son, David, who walked up one day and said, "I'm gay," and walked out of her house, and she heard nothing of him for 11 years. Not a card, not a phone call, not a drive-by, nothing for 11 years. So she did what any parent would do. She started a ministry called Spatula Ministries. How to scrape yourself off a ceiling. And moms end up on ceilings quite a bit. And she said, "Well, you know what we need to do is scrape people off." She died of a brain tumor several years back. Just an amazing woman. And she knew the same things that Paul knew, that Jeremiah knew, that Betsy knew, that Corey knew, that God tells us on a regular basis. I am a mighty God. I am a holy God. I am all powerful. I have created everything that has ever been. I am righteous. It is in my very nature to deliver people out of the worst situations you can imagine. And I'm just. So when you're there, know this, that I know that you are there and that you're there for a purpose, but I won't allow it to go on more than it should. Daniel in 11:32 put it this way, "The people who know their God shall stand firm and take action." People who know their God. Remember I talked about knowing? That it has to do with relationship. The most effective way to walk through the most difficult times is to have a relationship with God during the good times. When it's easy. When you have time to read your Bible. Well, Pastor, that's the problem right there. I don't have time to read my Bible. Don't you know? Ever since they took the soap operas off the television, well, then there's 2020 and ID, and there's this, and there's this, and then I got to go to soccer, and I have this, and I have this, and I have this, and we have. Our lives are so full of things. I have to mow the lawn. I have to change. Well, no one changes their oil anymore. I have to go to Valvoline and have my oil changed. I have to go to Kroger to do my shopping and the dry cleaners to pick up my dry cleaning. And someone's got to cook dinner because it just will sit in that box all day long unless I pop it in the microwave. We have so many things. And you know, if we can't get it done in the 2.5 minutes of commercials every 20 minutes, it's not going to get done. Well, you know, I mean, there's a commercial. And then we sit there and go, oh my goodness, these commercials take forever. Yes. We could do something productive during that time. Or watch the show on Netflix. It has no commercials. You can watch it all day without end. If we would build that relationship with God during the good times, during the bad times, it's easy to trust Him. And the reason it's easy to trust Him is because we know Him. We know He loves us. We know how He loves us. He knows what we know what He responds to. Genesis 12, 1 through 3 says, through you, all the people of the world were blessed, will be blessed. See, they knew God's promises. So they knew that God had promised Abraham way back in Genesis chapter 12 that all of the nations of the world would be blessed through Abraham. So God is not going to allow the complete destruction of Israel because it is through Israel the Messiah will come. If all the people in the world are going to be blessed, this isn't the end. And if this isn't the end, God has a plan for us. There is salvation coming. Jeremiah 30 verse 10 says, God will restore Israel. In this very chapter, Jeremiah 30:11, for I am with you to save you, declares the Lord. God says, don't you get it? I am here. I am here with a purpose. Now, when going got tough, Judah, we know they just took sacrifices to the temple and poured their heart out to God and trusted God and just worshiped Him and sang Him. No, they didn't. They turned to Egypt. God said, don't go to Egypt. They turned to Egypt. God says, don't go to Egypt. They keep going to Egypt. God says, you know, here's what I'm going to do. And Egypt was wiped off the map. Now where are you going to go? Sometimes it's as simple as God saying, one by one, we have to remove the idols in our lives so we're left with nothing else but God to turn to. Isn't it funny that so often we struggle with who God is, with where He is in our lives? What is God doing? Why is God allowing this? You know, it's funny too. One of the hard things that I hear as a pastor, and I try my best not to do it, and I know I fail at this. There'll be a tragedy of some kind, and a pastor or well-meaning friend or a person will come up and just start quoting scripture and saying things, and they're platitudes, and it's just like, really? The funny thing is, all of the platitudes are real. They really are. God loves us. God will pull us through. God has a reason for everything. When you're going through a difficult time, tell yourself that. He has a plan for your life. Just like He had a plan for Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, David, Jeremiah, Paul, Peter, everyone along this line, He has a plan for your life. If you are going through a difficult time, asking God why is absolutely fine. People call me, Pastor, is it okay for me to be mad at God? Be mad at God all day long. You know what God says? What are you mad at me for? 9 times out of 10, if in our world, now America's a little different, 9 times out of 10, if we're having a bad day, it's our fault. Amen? It's like this plaque that hangs in my office. Actually, it doesn't hang in my office. It sits on my desk. Everything happens for a reason. Sometimes, and excuse me, I'm going to use a word people sometimes take offense at. Sometimes that reason is because you're stupid and make bad decisions. It's not even sometimes. It's usually because you make bad decisions. You put yourself somewhere where you should not be. In a situation that should not exist and doesn't exist, except that you chose to be there. I chose to be there. Yesterday, I walked out of my door, and I'll tell you, I went from 0 to 100 just like that. Our dog found a mole in our front garden bed and dug that trail. Now, here's the deal. That dog has no business being out front. That dog belongs in the back. But Tish was leaving for work, and the dog ran out the door, and off she went and left it, and there's like dirt everywhere. It took me at least 2 hours to convince myself it's just dirt. It's just dirt. It's just dirt. The $300,000 life insurance policy is not worth it. Right? It will not improve my jail cell if I kill Tish. Can't kill the dog. Can't kick the dog. You know, it's just... You judge me? Are you judging me? Think about the last time you went from 0 to 100. Oh, well, Pastor, I've never been to 100. Lies, lies, lies. Sorry about that. We all have those things that take us, and I have no idea why I would lose it over that. And I didn't lose it. There was no one to say anything to. Right? The dog is sitting in his little kennel. I call it the box. And she knew she did it. That just irritates me. She comes in the house after digging up that garden and goes and lays in her kennel. Because she knows the worst thing I'm going to do is say, go to your box. I can't even say that. I can't call Tish and say, why did you let the dogs out? Well, her phone doesn't work in her classroom for one. Thank goodness, you know. And it's like, it's just dirt. It's just, you just sweep it back into the hole and it's still dirt. It was dirt when it came out. It'll be dirt when it... No change whatsoever. And you know the thing is, I don't weed that stupid thing. I don't plant things in that stupid thing. Plant came up, grew pumpkins. I'm like, awesome pumpkins. I've got a row of pumpkins on my front porch. I hope they last till Halloween. I don't care about that flower bed, except when that dog digs in it. That just irks me. Or when you're on the road, or when someone cuts in front of you at line, or when someone is late with a project at work. Or when something happens, someone you love does or says something that just sets you off. And we all go from 0 to 100 just like that. So quit judging me. It was so funny. I came home and John had actually put the dirt back. And literally, that's all he did. He just swept with a broom. He took it and swept it back in the hole. And that was good. He was going to have to do it anyway. It was just whether he did it himself or I told him to do it. He did it himself. But that took me from 99 all the way back to 0. Because for once, I didn't have to fill that hole again. I just kept saying, it's dirt. Everything we have is future dust. Everything. Someone breaks in my house and steals the most valuable thing aside from one of my family members. In 1,000 years, where will that thing be? It's future dust. You hear people say, you can't take it with you. No, but I can try. We all have these little sacred things. My grandfather left me an envelope just before he died. It has my name written on it in his handwriting. I think about 4 or 5 years ago, I finally opened that envelope. Inside that envelope was a $2 bill. A wrinkled, folded, dirty, probably sweat all over, $2 bill. There was nothing special about that $2 bill, except that my grandfather gave it to me. I have that $2 bill still in that envelope because my grandfather left it to me. Where is that $2 bill inside that envelope with my grandfather's handwriting on the outside going to be in 1,000 years? Dust. It's all our perspective. Who is God? Do we know him? Do we trust him? Is he there in the good times? Because if we don't have him where he needs to be in the good times, we won't trust him to be there for us in the bad times. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you that you are a God who loves us and who cares for us. Father, help us, like Jeremiah and Paul and David, Abraham, Matthew and Mark, and Corey, Barbara, and so many others, the faithful witnesses that have gone on before us, to keep in perspective who and where we are, where we live, and who God is. Our Creator, our Deliverer, Almighty, Holy, Righteous, and Just. Father, help us to know God as He knows us, to turn to Him in times that are good as well as times that are not good. Father, we thank you for your love for us and for your care. Lord, as we leave here today, we pray a blessing over each person that's here. Father, that God will become more and more of a presence in their lives every day. Father, that they will see him and know him and trust him more and more every day. Father, draw us to yourself. Truly, you are an awesome God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I have one short announcement. All the others should be in your bulletin. Well, there's two. One is, inside your bulletin, there's a piece of paper that says there's the kitchen work day is on the 11th. That will actually not be on the 11th. That will be on the 20th. So that is a misprint. Also, Mike and Lanny Peppers and Karen and Jim Green and Linda and Harold Widener all went on vacation together. I was not invited on that vacation. 0 to 100 right there, yeah. But then neither was Josh. But he would have been had he been here when they planned it. So if you call the office and you don't get an answer, just be persistent. If you have FFC concerns, I'm doing that, so they'll come to me. But feel free, my cell phone's in the directory. Give me a call if you need me. I'll be glad to be there for you. But if you're calling for Karen, call her cell, call often.
Now, one thing real quick. How many people here, by show of hands, had their children here for VBS this past week? See, quite a few. Now, wait, you don't have to raise your hands on this one. I know there's several people I've seen here this morning. If you are here for the first time because of VBS, or if you're just here for the first time in general, inside your bulletin is this little piece of paper that says, "Welcome." We'd love for you to fill that out. Just drop it off back at the information desk outside these doors back here. We'd love to get you some more information about the church. Also, real quick before we do this last song, Josh, stand up. And is Cheryl in here? Cheryl Ferguson? She's upstairs. Okay. Let's give these two a round of applause. I mean, this past week, I know, has been very busy, and they have dedicated a lot of time and effort to it, so we would definitely want to thank them. And in case you're wondering, this is not the complete band up here. We had to modify because of everything that you see up here. But if you get a chance, make sure you tell them thank you and how much you appreciate the work that they've put into VBS this past week.
One last word. Roger Molyneux, as you know, passed away this last week. The Molyneux family has been part of our church. I looked it up this week. Has been part of our church since 1926. So Roger was saved at Westwood Baptist, which is us, the week before Pearl Harbor. And his services are Tuesday morning. Visitation is from 10 to 11. The service is from 11 to 11:30. Interment is at Arlington Cemetery. And with full military honors. If you need a ride, call the office, and the van will arrange for the van to pick you up for the funeral part only. If you ride the van and you think, yes, I still want to go to the cemetery, you can just ride with me in my personal car. I will be praying for the Molyneux family, and they've been long. It is at Dalbert, Woodruff and Isengall at 2880 Boudinot, if I remember right. Because we all know where the funeral homes are, right?
Okay, let's all stand for one more song. I know a lot of you have heard this, and you know it. We'd love for you to sing along with us. Some glad morning when this life is o'er, I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away, I'll fly away, oh glory. I'll fly away in the morning when I die, hallelujah, by and by. I'll fly away when the shadows of this life have grown.
You are dismissed.